for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2021 Lake Hamilton Bible Camp July virtual Zoom meeting. Deborah Bales is hosting this meeting with Lake Hamilton Bible Camp's director, Mary Miller. This is Saturday morning, July the 17th, 2021. Jerry McGee is the speaker of the morning, teaching on Guard Your Heart from Idols. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
You know, sometimes if I see something coming, maybe, you know, when a cold's coming or something, I see it coming, and I just say, okay, God, what did I do? And then I start repenting, and it just goes that way. And so this is why that I've not been afraid of COVID or plagues or all this stuff. Plagues are going to be poured out on those that worship the beast. And every place I have an idol, I'm worshiping the beast. Okay, continue.
Verse 60, he will bring back on you all the diseases of Egypt and which you were afraid, and they will cling to you.
Okay, so how can he bring back something he didn't take away? See, in covenant, God took all of those sicknesses away. But now, through a curse, he's going to bring them back. Okay, continue.
Also, every sickness and every plague, which not written in the book of this law, the Lord will bring on you until you are destroyed.
And that's every disease that's not yet been discovered. And you could say COVID was one of them, which was a scamdemic. In fact, have you noticed that through all of that nobody has pneumonia or influenza or any of that kind of stuff? It's amazing. It's basically a big lie. Okay, continue, please.
Verse 62, then you shall be left few in number, whereas you were as numerous as the stars of heaven, because you did not obey the Lord your God.
Yes, because we didn't obey. And let me tell you, when you're born again, you don't obey to be saved. You obey because you are. Obedience is the fruit of salvation. Okay, continue, please.
It shall come about that as the Lord delighted over you to prosper you and multiply you, so the Lord will delight over you to make you perish and destroy you, and you will be torn from the land where you are entering to possess it.
So God wants to bless you, but he can't bless you if you're under a curse. Okay, continue.
Moreover, the Lord will scatter you among all peoples, from one end of the earth to the other end of the earth. And there you shall serve other gods, wood and stone, which you or your fathers have not known.
So he's going to allow you to go back into the world and to worship false gods. Okay.
Verse 65, among those nations you shall find no rest, and there will be no resting place for the sole of your foot.
Stop right there. So no, living a life of unrest is a curse. Why is it a curse? Because Jesus gives us the answer in Matthew 12:11, where he says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble, and you shall find rest for your soul. So you see, the solution for being under a curse of unrest is to come under his yoke, which brings rest. You see why that's a curse? God wants us to live in a state of rest. And when something troubles our peace and takes away our rest, we need to find out what it is and repent so we can come back under his rest. And it says in Isaiah 26, it says, he will keep you in perfect peace when your mind is stayed upon him, because you're trusting in him. I know people that only sleep 2 or 3 hours a night and they live in a state of unrest. God wants us to come under his rest. Okay.
But there the Lord will give you a trembling heart, failing of eyes, and despair of soul.
So you see failing eyes, despair of soul, unrest, trembling heart, heart problems, all of that is a curse.
So your life shall hang in doubt before you, and you will be in dread night and day, and shall have no assurance of your life.
So you'll be in dread night and day, and fear. Dread is really a type of fear. You'll be in dread night and day and have no assurance of your life. In other words, you don't have the confidence that God wants to give you. He wants us to walk in confidence, not self-confidence, but confidence in Him, because you can trust His word. So many times we're asking God to give us things that He already said we'll have. You know, I've heard people say, well, Lord, give us authority. He's given you authority in Christ Jesus. In fact, it tells us in, I don't know where it is because I hadn't planned to use this scripture, but it says, lay aside the deeds of darkness, make no provision for the flesh, and put on the armor of light. And let me tell you, light dispels darkness. And when you have on God's armor of light, you can walk in authority and know that wherever you are, the atmosphere changes not because of you, but because of God's armor of light. Okay.
In the morning, you shall say, would that it were evening. And at evening, you shall say, would that it were morning, because of the dread of your heart, which you dread, and for the sight of your eyes, which you will see.
So in the morning you say, oh, I wish it were evening. And in the evening you'll say, oh, I wish it were morning, because of the dread of your heart. You dread getting up. You dread going to sleep because of dread. Okay, continue.
Verse 68, the Lord will bring you back to Egypt in ships by the way about which I spoke to you. You will never see it.
Go ahead.
You will never see it again, and there you will offer yourselves for sale to your enemies as male and female slaves, but there will be no buyer.
Nobody wants you. You offer yourself as a slave to someone, and I see this with people with fear of man. I see this with people that are man pleasers, people that will tell you anything they think you want to hear. They're man pleasers. They're double-minded, and so I see this as true. Read it again, because I forgot what it was.
Verse number.
No,
okay.
Just read the verse.
Okay. The Lord will bring you back to Egypt. That one. Okay.
Yeah. Stop. You just stop there. That's in other words, because you're under the curse, you'll go back to the world. Egypt is the type of the world. Okay. Then the next part of that.
In ships, by the way about which I spoke to you.
Right.
You will never see it
again, and there you'll offer yourself for sale to your enemies as male and female slaves, and nobody wants you. And you see this with people that live in fear of man and man pleasing. It's like they want to be a slave to everybody. It's really distressing to see this, even to go someplace and see people that don't. Here in Texas, you don't have to wear a mask anymore. And see people that are still wearing them. Now, let me tell you something about a mask. Did you know that if a germ can get through the, a germ is smaller, through a mask. If you can smell perfume through your mask, a germ is smaller than that. And so they don't protect you. And in fact, some of the people that are making these masks are putting things in there that you're breathing into your lungs that are really not good for you. And so if you're having to wear one, make sure you wash it and it doesn't have something that somebody's put in there. But they actually can cause lung problems, can destroy your immune system. You need to breathe clean air. Okay, continue. I'll get off my mask message.
Okay, that was the last verse, Jerry.
Okay, so you'll be offer yourself for sale for your slaves, for male and female buyers, but there'll be no one that even wants you. And God's a jealous God. He said you'll have no other gods before Him. And, you know, an idol can be an idea or a picture in your mind. It can be an image in your mind. And I think it's Proverbs 23, but I'm not sure. I tried to look it up and I couldn't see it and didn't have time. But it says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So you can have an idol can be an image or an idea or a picture in your mind. An idol prevents you from being conformed into the image of Christ. It says in first in Psalms 135 and Psalms 118, it says that those that make idols become like them. They have eyes, but they do not see. Recently, I thought, you know, Lord, maybe I made an idol out of myself. They have eyes, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. They have mouths, but they cannot speak. They have feet, but they cannot walk. And says those who make idols become for them from the, become like them. So we become like our idols. If you make an idol out of another person, you have a soul tie with that person. We can make idols out of ourselves, out of other people. We can make idols out of our children, our mates. You know, I see husbands that make their wives such an idol that they don't stand up and be the man of the house. They let the woman control. And I don't know what it is about a woman, but she'll do whatever she can to control, and then she'll hate your guts if you let her do it. So men, stand up and be the spiritual leaders of your home. Love your wife like Christ loves the church, and she'll probably want to submit to you. And so we make idols out of our doctor. You know, I know people that have such an idol of their doctor and their meds that they're more interested in what their doctor says than what God's word says. And that's a shame. And if you're one of those people, you need to repent of that. And we make idols out of a psychiatrist. I had a lady once tell me, she said, you know, my psychiatrist said I never would be healed. I said, if you listen to him, you never will. You better line your life up with the word of God. I said, he was speaking correctly. And so God tells us through psychology, don't see to it. No one takes you captive by the philosophies of men, by the elemental principles of the world rather than Christ. We make idols out of our doctors. We make idols out of our television, out of movies, out of Netflix. Let me tell you something. Netflix has an agenda, and many of these Hollywood actors, including Tom Hanks, they are pedophiles, Satanists, and they have an agenda. And you better watch over your heart, because what you're planting down in your heart is going to produce fruit, either good fruit or negative fruit. 2 Corinthians 6 says, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? It goes on to say that when you join yourself with a harlot, you become one with her. 1 Samuel 15:23, and I've already quoted that, that says, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and all iniquity is as idolatry. Galatians 5:20 says that idolatry is the fruit of the flesh, and if you practice it, you'll not inherit the kingdom of God. Ephesians 5:5 says, for this you know with certainty that no sexually immoral person, impure person, covetous man, or covetous person who is an idolater has a part in the kingdom of God in Christ. Colossians 3:5-6 says, therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed. And then it goes on to say that no, it's for account of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience, and the wrath of God is carried out by the enemy. There are scriptures to back that up, and because I can't move my Bible around like I used to, I'll just have to not use the reference. But if anybody wants it, I can get somebody to look it up. So you can email me at jerrymcghee@sbcglobal.net. That's GERIMCGHEE at sbcglobal.net, all lowercase. And I'll find that scripture if you're wanting to me to prove it in the Word of God. And so you can. So all forms of idolatry lead to demonization. Revelation 9:20 says, when you worship false gods, you worship idols, you worship demons. Ezekiel 14:3 says that when you have an idol, you put before your face the stumbling block of your iniquity. You're blinded by idols. You know, we all have blind spots. And myself and the people I pray with, my son and all of us, we pray together in the mornings, and we're asking God to show us the blind spots, because we all have blind spots. We all have areas of our life that we're just blind to. I want to see my blind spots, and I want to get rid of them. I want to go out of here strong in the Lord, not beat down, defeated, and overcome. And so how we detect idols is whatever makes you angry is rooted in idolatry. Like you can know you have an idol. If you're angry, you get angry when you don't get it. And if you have it, you get angry if you lose it. If you have fear, you fear you won't get it. And if you get it, you fear you'll lose it. And so hurt, all of these negative emotions are rooted in idolatry. And so they come in through the sins of the fathers, the mothers and fathers. The sins of the fathers pass on to the children, to the third and fourth generation. So the idols of the fathers are the idols of the children. And so they also come in every time you let the sun go down on your anger in your whole lifetime. If you don't go to God in your pain or in your suffering or whatever you're going through, you turn to a false god, and that false god is, for example, you are not loved growing up. So you don't know as a little child to go to God with that. So what you do is you turn to a promise, or you turn to a vow. When I get out of this house, I'm going to find someone that loves me. And that becomes an idol in my life. I've got to be loved. And so if I have an idol of got to be loved, I get angry when I'm not loved. I fear I won't be loved. And if I have somebody love me, I get jealous for that. And so all of these things are negative emotions, can also become idols, because 1 Samuel 15:23 says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And that's how they all come in. And the solution for all of your idols is just take it up the mountain. And I say, Lord, you hear what the devil's trying to tell me? He's trying to put fear on me. God, if that would glorify you the most, so be it. And I just release it to God. Now, that's the perfect love that casts out fear. That's saying, God, you know who needs to love me and who needs not to love me. You know, God first showed me this years ago when my son was living a homosexual lifestyle, and I had seen a crack commercial on television. And I was driving along, and I can't even tell you the spot where God showed me this. I went, what if he takes crack? And then the Spirit of God just released me. I said, but God, if the only way he can know you is to take crack, I ask you in the name of Jesus, give him crack. He never took crack. I've seen this happen over and over. My late husband had a retreat. My mother and daddy came, and they didn't like the speaker, so they left angry. They packed up the next morning and went back home. And about 2 weeks later, my little sister, who was a pastor's wife, had a ladies' retreat, and I went to that ladies' retreat, and my mother, she just kept going on and on and on how wonderful my little sister's retreat was, and I felt anger just coming right toward me. I mean, hurt, and I said, Lord, if it glorify you the most for my mother to never like anything I do, so be it, and the hurt just left. It works with hurt. It works with all the negative emotions. And then, you know, then my grandson, when he got out of the University of Texas, he was going to join the military. And I knew there was a calling on his life. And I grieved for 3 months. And finally, one day, I practiced what I preached. I said, Lord, if it'll glorify you the most for David to be a Marine, and it's honorable to want to serve your country. But we had a president at the time that probably wouldn't let you even speak for the Lord. But thank God our president's a work in progress right now. But anyway, so I just said one day, I said, Lord, if it'll glorify you the most for David to be a Marine, I ask you in the name of Jesus, put him in the Marines. But devil, you won't put him in the Marines. And I can tell you, he never joined the Marines. Another time, my son was getting ready. My oldest son was getting ready to move up north and take my two little granddaughters at the time with him. And I just said, Lord, if it would glorify to get over the grief of it, I said, Lord, if it glorify you the most, if I never see my son again, all I ask is you put him wherever would glorify you the most. But devil, you won't put him anywhere. I just let it go, had no fear, no worry, no concern. And I can tell you, my son now is my pastor, and he lives about 300 yards from me. You see, most of the things the devil tells us with fear never happens. The perfect love, God says, casts out fear. That's the perfect trust. God, you know what I need. You know my life. You have a schedule, and you know what I need. And if I don't need this, then don't let me have it. If it glorify you the most, so be it. I remember when my youngest son died of AIDS. I had a sinus infection that lasted a year and a half. And I remember being in the shower. I can remember praying this because my mother and dad said, you better go get an AIDS test. Well, I had fear of I was going to have an AIDS test the next morning, and I was afraid of that. And so I was in the shower, and I said, Lord, I live for your glory, and I don't think I could be as brave as Todd. But if it would glorify you the most to have AIDS, I don't think it would. But if it would, give me AIDS. But devil, you can't give me anything. And I can tell you, I let that go at the cross, at the altar. And the next day I sat down and had an AIDS test, and I didn't have one fear. It's the perfect love that casts out fear. It's when you give up your life, you give up whatever it is that's making you sad or hurting you or depressing you or making you sad, which is all idolatry. When you let it go, do the Abraham Isaac thing, can I tell you, you're not asking God to do this to you. But you know, when God told Abraham to take his only son up the mountain, he didn't want Isaac killed. He was trying to kill Abraham. Abraham's flesh. And after Abraham just started to kill his son, God said, no, now I know you trust God. Now I know that you fear God. It's the perfect love that casts out fear. Now, if you just have a prayer request, God says, you know, you have not because you ask not. Ask and you shall receive, and your joy will be full. But if there's fear or worry or hurt or concern or distress or rejection or whatever it is, God, if that would bring, Lord, and now if you don't live for God's glory, that's not good news. But if you live for God's glory, he's going to answer that prayer because he's going to glorify himself. And knowing that God will glorify himself is enough for me. So I can say, God, if that would glorify you the most for me to be rejected every day of my life, so be it. But devil, you can't reject me in Jesus' name. Well, you can accept whatever happens. God says, this is the confidence you can have toward him. If you ask anything according to his will, he hears you. And if he hears you, you already have what you asked for. God says, ask and you shall receive. But we have to I say, take it up the mountain, however you want to do it. But you've got to lay it down at the cross in Jesus' name. You have to die to your fear, your anger, your hurt, your bitterness. And I can tell you, I'm thankful that God has taught me that principle, because I can say today, I don't have any fear or hurt or anger. I lay it go. Don't let the sun go down on your anger, because the scripture says you give a foothold to the devil. And let me tell you something. Those footholds don't just leave when you get saved. It's a thing of working out your salvation with fear and trembling. And let me see if I got it. I think that's everything. But thank you for letting me share. I love Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. When we reopen, I encourage you to come, because I don't know of any place where we've watched people change right before our very eyes. It's a place of healing. It's a place of deliverance. And it's a place where you'll be loved no matter what you've done or what you've been into. You'll be loved. And that's why I love Lake Hamilton. In fact, until this happened, I had been going since 1997. I don't think I missed one. And every time I come home, I'm different. People don't particularly pray for me, but the group deliverances, every time I come home, I was more delivered of something. And any person that's been there can tell you that. And I just encourage you, if you don't have a church home, I encourage you to support Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. And I just love Merrill and Barbara. They love the Lord with their whole heart. And Deborah and Randy and Callie and Carla used to come and probably still gets to come. But and Kernan and Jean, so many people. I can't even name them all, but just love y'all all so much. And thank you. And if you, if the Lord's shown you an idol, how do you do this, Deborah? Do you give them a minute to repent, or
You can pray if you want to pray Mass Deliverance. I can take you off spotlight if you want to see everybody, Jerry, and pray with them. You're more than welcome to do so.
Well, I don't know how to do that. I mean, you let me see it.
You just hold tight so everybody can see. And then we took you off spotlight and we just do galley. And you can just pray for everyone if you want to do a mass prayer. That's fine.
I'd like to lead them in repentance like I do at Lake Hamilton because Carter, even on the radio, they don't get the full deliverance because you don't give them a chance to repent. So I'm going to give you a few minutes to repent of everything the Lord's shown you. So pray with me. Father, in the name, all I can see is you, Deborah. Am I supposed to see everybody?
Okay.
I like seeing you, Deborah.
Thank you.
You're a joy. But if I'm supposed to see everybody, I don't see everybody. But if however you want to do it, it's okay with me.
Okay. Go ahead and pray.
So anything that makes you angry is an idol. You may not bow down to a Buddha or a Kali or a Baphomet or a statue, but anything that makes you angry, anything that hurts you, anything that makes you rains on your parade, all of these things you have to die to. Jesus said that if any man would come after me, he has to deny himself, take up his cross and follow me, Jesus said. Now your cross is not your mother-in-law. It's not your husband, not your wife. It's not your bills. It's every place. Derek Prince says every place your will crosses, God's will is your cross. And you have to line up with God's way, his plan, his purpose, his attitude, line up with the word of God. And I'm going to give you a minute to repent. Just pray with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask for the truth that sets me free. And Father, we loose upon each person the fear of God, the conviction of sin, a spirit of repentance, and the truth that sets them free. In Jesus' name, we just thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Thank you for those that are listening. God, thank you for every life. And you know, if you live in a foreign country and even here in America, and you've had forefathers that worshiped false gods, whatever your country is, I encourage you to get on the internet, look up all the false gods of that particular country and repent over each one, break soul ties, break covenants with them, make a new covenant with Jesus so his covenant with you will break all former covenants. So Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to let them know the truth that sets them free in the name of Jesus. Lord, I loose on them the fear of God, the conviction of sin, a spirit of repentance. And Lord, I ask you to show them everything they've made an idol of, every concern they have, in the name of Jesus, every false god, I ask you to reveal it in the name of Jesus. Father, in Jesus' name, just pray with me. Lord, I lay down every idol at the cross, every negative emotion, everything that hurts me.
I lay down every idol, oh God, in the name of Jesus.
Everything that hurts me, everything that makes me feel worried or fearful, anything that makes me angry, anything that depresses me, God, anything that makes me be in despair,
that makes me depressed and anxious,
God, yes, I just lay that all down in the name of Jesus.
I lay it down.
And Lord, I take it up the mountain and I say, if it would bring you greater glory and honor for this or that to happen or not happen, so be it. But devil, you can't touch me in Jesus' name. I have the perfect love that casts out fear in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I lay down my life. I present my body to you, Lord, as a living sacrifice. I offer up to you my members as instruments of righteousness. Satan, I bind you. I bind the strong man over every life in the name of Jesus. I bind every spirit that would not confess Jesus Christ is Lord. And Lord, in the name of Jesus, I take accountability for generational idolatry. I forgive my forefathers for worshiping false gods. Lord, I make you the only true and living God. I break all covenants with false gods that my forefathers made. Every word of death, word of iniquity. I forgive every person that's hurt me, abused me, rejected me, hated me. I forgive them all in the name of Jesus. Lord, in Jesus' name, I just ask you to touch every life in the name of Jesus. Lord, we break generational curses, soul tie curses, cultural curses of worship and false gods, of idolatry. And Lord, forgive me for disobedience to your voice and your commandments that would bring these curses on me in Deuteronomy 28. And Lord, I ask you to start with Adam and Eve and let your cleansing blood flow down through my bloodline washing away any ground Satan's had in my life through the generational iniquities of the forefathers, through disobedience to your voice and your commandments. I break the curse of severe and lasting plagues, miserable and chronic sicknesses, curses of confusion, curses that when I go out, I'll be cursed when I go in, cursed when I go out, cursed in the city, cursed in the country. I break curses that the offspring of my body will be cursed. I break curses that that I'll only be robbed in continually. I break curses of disobedience and rebellion and antichrist in the name of Jesus. I break every curse, the curse that I'll only be robbed continually with none to save me, the curse of blindness, failing eyes, trembling heart, failing eyes, despair of soul. I break curses that I'll grope at noon as the blind man gropes in darkness and have no assurance of my life. I break curses of every sickness that's not even yet written in the word of God. I break curses of consumption, fever, inflammation, fiery heat. I break curses of cancer, curses of blindness. I break curses of plagues, curses of pain. Lord, forgive me for worshiping the beast, which would cause me to have excruciating pain. Show me all the areas, Lord, where I've worshiped the beast in Jesus' name, that you would pour out plagues upon me and sickness and disease in the name of Jesus. Severe and lasting plagues, miserable and chronic sicknesses, I break in the name of Jesus. I break curses that in the morning I'll say, I wish you were evening. In the evening I would say, I wish you were morning. Lord, I ask you to remove this king I've set over me. I make you, Jesus, king over my life. I renounce this king I've set over my life that would cause me to be have hunger and thirst and the lack of all things, and you to put an iron yoke on my neck until I'm destroyed. I ask you to forgive me for stubbornness and unbelief and doubt. I break the power of stubbornness, stubborn, stiff neck. I break the curse of worshiping the beast, curses of adultery, fornication. I break curses of sexual immorality. I break curses of passion, evil desire, greed. In the name of Jesus, I break curses of sexual immorality in the name of Jesus, perversion, lust, lewdness in the name of Jesus. I break curses that I would offer myself for sale to my enemies as male and female slaves, but there'd be nobody that wants me. Forgive me for, God, forgive me for compromise. Forgive me for double-mindedness. Forgive me for being a man pleaser, telling people what they want to hear instead of what you want me to say. God, in the name of Jesus, I break curses that in the morning I'll say, I wish it were evening. In the evening, I will say, I wish it were morning. In the name of Jesus, I break curses off my children. In the name of Jesus, I break curses that my children will go into captivity. In the name of Jesus, I break curses of mental illness and insanity. I break curses of sorcery, idolatry. Lord, forgive me for making my doctor a God. Forgive me for making medications a God. God, forgive me for making a psychiatrist a God. God, forgive me for joining myself with unbelievers in the name of Jesus. God, forgive me for kowtow to this one world order. Forgive me for not standing up. Forgive me for being a slave to man rather than a slave to you. God, I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to uncover every idol in my life in the name of Jesus. Every place I have idolatry, God, I ask you to expose it. I ask you to expose my blind spots in Jesus' name. And let me just tell you, if you're not coming to God with 100%, you're not coming to God. You know, I heard someone say the other day, if you're not sold out, you will be bought out. If you're a person that can be bought out, you need to repent. That's idolatry. We better be in this day that we're living in. People that will not sell ourselves out for money or for any other thing. Because let me tell you something. We need to be preparing our life for eternity. God, teach us to number our days that we might present to you a heart of wisdom. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we break soul ties with every person that's hurt us. We forgive every person that's ever hurt us. God, we pray that you'll show us in Jesus' name. Forgive us for all the times we've let the sun go down on our anger. I ask you to begin revealing those things to us in Jesus' name. I break soul ties with every person that's hurt us or traumatized us in the name of Jesus. We break soul ties with all these false gods in Jesus' name. Lord, in Jesus' name, we just cut and sever every cord of control linking their souls to our soul. We call back our soul and human spirit back from them. We send back their souls and human spirits back to them. We exchange their image for the image of Christ in Jesus' name. Now, in the name of Jesus, I come against every demon carrying out curses against them in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, Lord, show them that a curse without a cause cannot lie. I break the power of fear, fear of COVID, fear of disease, fear of plagues. God, all of that just needs to go, and I need to go back to why am I worshiping the beast? Where am I worshiping the beast? Where do I have an idol? God, where do I have another God? I ask you to show them in the name of Jesus. I break your power, Satan, over every life. I bind the strong man. I command every demon carrying out curses against them to go now in Jesus' name. I break your power. Take a deep breath and blow out now in Jesus' name. Praise you, mighty God. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Well before heaven and earth adore him.
What a mighty God we serve.
Hallelujah. Lord, fill me with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. Amen. And let me just tell you, when I used to read Deuteronomy 28, I want you to read the blessings here before they got to have good news. Well, this is good news, but I mean, it might be painful good news. But I encourage each one of you to go through Deuteronomy 28, and because we couldn't cover it all today. I mean, but go through each verse and circle the curses you think you're under and keep on seeking God until all of the curses are off your life. When I first started doing this back in 1990, I could see a lot of curses on my life, and now all I see is the blindness thing. And I'm working towards breaking that. But go and read and keep on doing this until all of the curses are off your life. And I'm thinking of one little particular person. I know every curse in the Bible is on her. So only God can take them off as you yield your life to him. If you've made a person an idol, you need to renounce it. Let me tell you, if you make a person an idol, they'll reject you every time. If you want the rug jerked out from under you, you just put a person in the position that only God is supposed to be in. Idols are, we need to lay down everything that rightfully belongs to God, everything and everybody in Jesus' name, and make Jesus Christ king over your life in Jesus' name. We praise you, Lord. Bless you, mighty God. And now she's going to read the blessings of Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14. And as she reads these, you make a note of the ones that you think you're not, that don't apply to you, because God wants you to be blessed. He doesn't want you to be cursed. Okay, Deborah.
Deuteronomy 28 verses 1 through 14. Now it shall be, if you diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments, which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the offspring of your body, the produce of your ground, and the offspring of your beast, the increase of your herd, and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord shall cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you. They will come out against you one way and will flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing upon you in your barns and in all that you put your hand to. And he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, as he swore to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. So all the peoples of the earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will be afraid of you.
Stop right there, Deborah. Stop right there. all the peoples of the world are going to see that you're called by the name of the Lord, and they're going to be afraid of you. Hallelujah. You see, when you have on the armor of light, the demons know it. You might not can see it with the physical eye, but when you wear the armor of light, let me tell you, it dispels darkness and it changes the atmosphere wherever you go. Okay, continue.
The Lord will make you abound in prosperity, in the offspring of your body, and in the offspring of your beasts, and in the produce of the ground, in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open for you his good storehouse, the heavens, to give rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. And you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail, and you only will be above, and you will not be underneath. If you listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, which I charge you.
If you listen. It's conditional. Go ahead.
Which I charge you today to observe them carefully and do not turn aside from any of the words which I command you today to the right or to the left to go after other gods to serve them.
Bless the Lord. Bless you, Lord. Thank you so much for listening. God bless you.
Amen.
And walk in repentance. It should be a lifestyle, not just a one-time deal. God bless you. I love y'all so much.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.